Well, I've been speaking about the righteousness of God recently, and anyway, I want to read this out. It's what Paul said. It's Romans. He said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together." When you believe Christ died for your sins, you got baptized into Christ, you got born again on the inside, you got changed on the inside, your spirit is baptized into Christ, joined with Christ, made in union with Christ, and your spirit, the center part of your soul, has been born again, made holy. So the center part of you has been born again and has a holy nature. But because of that, your identity is a son of God, a son of God. Jesus Christ is the son of God. When you're born again in him, you become a son of God. And Paul explains what son of God is. It's an heir. In those days when it was written, a son's an heir. A son inherits the father's possession when the father dies. So you're an heir. So the word son of God is used for male and female Christians because it indicates an heir. But in a different language, if you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins, you are a son of God or a daughter of God, and an inheritor of heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. That means what Christ inherited from his father like belongs to you. So when Christ lived his life, he lived a perfect life. He died. God said, this man does not... He died and paid for your sin, went to hell. God said, this man doesn't deserve to stay in hell because he hasn't done anything. He hasn't sinned himself. And God declared Jesus righteous, raised Jesus from the dead. So Christ's righteousness... Christ had his righteousness and God declared him righteous. And you got baptized into Christ, you got what's his, he got to what yours, he got your sin, he died for your sin, you got his righteousness, God declared you righteous with him. So you have Christ's righteousness, that's what it means for you to be an heir. You have a Christ righteousness and you have the righteousness of God. Now, God the Creator, well, like the Lord who is God, made the heavens and the earth, he made Adam and Eve, he made you, he designed you, he formed you whilst you were in your mother's womb, he crafted you, he had the eye. God said to maybe Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before you were formed, I knew you before you were born. God had the idea of you before you were born. God created you. God straight created you. God is your creator. God is your God. God is your father. Jesus is your savior. If you believe Christ died for your sins, you've got your sins forgiven. Christ is your savior. But the most important one of those relationships, out of all those relationships, is God being your father, because God is your creator. But you were created by God in his image to be in a relationship with him. So the more detailed, fullest explanation of God being your creator is God being your father. God is your God. God is sovereign over you. You live in his... You're in his world. God is sovereign over you. God is your provider for all things. But a more detailed relationship of that is God as your provider, as your father. The relationship that's the most important is God being your father. And that is why the purpose of the gospel is to bring you into reconciliation with God, is to restore. When you sinned, as you sinned against God and God turned his face from you because he couldn't look at you because God's holy, you were sinful. Christ was sent on a mission by God to die for your sin, for the purpose of clearing the debt that was before you and God, for the purpose of reconciling you and God, for the purpose of bringing you and God together and establishing peace between you and God. God wanted to establish peace between you and him. Why? Because he's your father. He's your creator and he's your provider, but it's more personal than that. He created you. You were his idea. He is actually your father. You may have an earthly father, but God is your first father. He is your first father. So the most important relationship that you have with God is that of father. So that's your identity. You are a son of God. Adam was a son of God, and he had sort of neutral flesh. When you became born again, you got made holy on the inside. Adam wasn't holy on the inside. Adam had flesh that wasn't sinful, but he wasn't holy on the inside. You're holy on the inside. So God created Adam, and in the coolness of the evening, God and Adam took a walk in the garden, and they just talked. Adam was made in the image of God. God made angels, but he wanted to make a different creature, one that was in his image, one that was like God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul said to the Corinthians, the Spirit is the deep part of God. The Son of God is the Word of God. God has those three parts. You have three parts. You have your body, soul, and spirit. You were made in the image of God. And when God made Adam, he wanted to walk with Adam in the coolness of the evening in the garden. He treated Adam like his son. Like, it wasn't just God was Adam's creator and it was impersonal. You know, God created Adam to have a relationship with him. You know, that's why God did it. It says of Abraham, Abraham was a friend of God. Like, God had a friend, he's called Abraham. He was called Abraham. So God made people to have relationships with him. So God is your father, but you were made to have a relationship with him. So your identity, your primary identity as a Christian, you know, it is a Christian, but what that means, what the first thing that means is that you are a son of God in a sense of an heir, the heir of the things of Christ. You've got Christ's righteousness, you've got the righteousness of God. You are son of God in that sense, but in a different way of putting it, if you believe Christ died for your sins, you are son or daughter of God. God is your father. That is the primary relationship. That is the thing that's happened when you became a Christian. You got restored in relationship with God. You got made at peace with God, and that's it. You've got peace with God. That's your identity. So let purpose come from identity. So, you know, if you want to know what your purpose is, you need to know what identity is. Your identity is you're a son of God or your daughter of God. That's your identity. That's what you actually are. That's the fundamental. When it's up, everything's boiled down, that is the first thing that you are. You're a son of God. You're a son of the living God. And so your purpose is just linked to that. So Paul said it to Ephesians, you're welcomed into the household of God. You are a member of the household of God. So you have got a purpose. God's got a project on, which, like, he's building a church. So you are a member of the church. You are a member of the household of God. Household of God is all the people that believe Christ died for the sins, the church. But God has got a project on where he's actually manifestly building his house. And all sons and daughters of the living God have a part in that project. So you have a part in God's project with the church of building his church. The purpose of the church is to glorify God. That's why God builds his church, to glorify himself through his church, through his son, Christ being the head of the church. But you have a part in the household of God. God has a job for you. Paul says in Romans 6, he says, you serve God by serving the righteousness of God. But that doesn't mean anything unless you know what the righteousness of God is talking about. The righteousness God is talking about is the gift of righteousness. You serve God by serving the gift of righteousness. What does that mean? Paul says, offer yourselves as instruments of righteousness to God. Again, to know what the statement means, you need to know what the word righteousness means. Offer yourselves as an instrument of righteousness of God. That righteousness is the same righteousness as in Romans 5, which is the gift of righteousness. So you're meant to offer yourselves as an instrument of the gift of righteousness, which basically means you're meant to go up to God and go, God, I'm righteous. I mean, to go up to God, your Father, and go, walk straight in the door. God, I'm righteous. I believe what you say. I've got peace with you. Now we've established that. But what do you want me to do? Because I'm your son. I have my purpose in what I have my purpose in you. What do you want me to do? So I just need to tell you, you have your own individual parts, whether apostle, I mean, you have your own parts, whether pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, That's what types of builders there are on the building site. But God has his purpose for you. And it's to do with him being your father, not your slave master, not your instructor, not telling you to go around impersonally on the working site. Your father owns the working site, and you are a son of your father. And your father's got a job for you on the working site, but it's not do this, do that, do that. It's come here, son. I've got a job personally for you. You're my son. We have that relationship first, and then I'll go and send you out to do jobs because you want to fulfill your purpose. You have a desire to relate to God, and you have a desire to fulfill the purpose that your father has for you, because that's part of you having a desire to relate to God. And your desire to relate to God comes from the fact that you're born again on the inside, you're made holy, you're made in the image of God in a born again way. And God gives you his Holy Spirit, and he's empowered you to do that thing. But the thing that I want to encourage you, which is what I've been doing the last, I think it's 3 weeks, is you need to know that you're righteous, and no buts, no ifs, no buts. You're righteous irrespective of what you do. Your righteousness is sealed. It doesn't go away. Your righteousness is sealed. It doesn't go away. And therefore, you can walk straight into your father's house and go. Father, I'm righteous. God, I'm righteous. I believe what you say. I'm righteous. What do you want me to do? And I need to tell you that, because there ain't nothing else that comes before. You don't need to wait for it. Once you're righteous before God, once you believe Christ died for your sins, you don't have to wait for anything to go up to your Father and say, what do you want me to do? He doesn't wait till you get to a certain amount of self-righteousness or a certain amount of personal holiness, as it's called. He doesn't wait till you get to that certain amount. You either are a son of God or you're not. And if you are a son of God, your Father has got a plan for you and has got jobs for you to do, which fulfills your purpose in him. So you can just boldly go up to him and go, I'm righteous, I'm at peace with you, my purpose lies in you. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do today? That's it.